Good evening, everyone. It's always a blessing to have a full house where God is present. You know, a full house where God does not have liberty, we've met in vain. But where God has liberty, that's our prayer tonight. I was just thinking as we sang that song, "Thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine." Every one of us has that dross, and with the Spirit of God dwelling within, God has chosen to work with mankind. And what He can do with us as we yield ourselves to Him, may God have His way this evening. We greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a message that I would like to share tonight. It's on our heart, it seems, continually. Just as God's will for each of us. I have a little picture I want to try to draw to illustrate the message, but it's the message that's on our heart. We want the message to be the big part of this evening. And if God can use a picture to help illustrate, may God have His way. Our subject for tonight is a key subject for our walk with God. This has to be in place. And it has to be in place for us to have a good marriage. It has to be in place for us to have good family life and relationships. This subject tonight has to be in place for us to enjoy sweet fellowship in the church family and in the kingdom of God. This has to be in place for a witness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the kingdom of our God. The subject tonight is brokenness. And I want you to know tonight, when your will is broken, when we're talking about brokenness, we're talking about our will. That's what we're talking about. When our will is broken, God has liberty. A broken will do more for you than any amount of counseling books that you could ever lay your hands on. You can just put those things all aside and break your heart before God, and God has liberty to move. This is the message that we have this evening. I would like to begin, if you could just turn the lights out. We'll just kind of adjust the lights up here, if that's all right. If you could just hit the lights. And we'll see what we got to do to get adjusted here. I want to begin this evening by painting a couple of pictures in your mind. The first one is a very beautiful scene, and I want you to try to picture this. It's of a group of young wild horses running down the mountain, and they are high-spirited, and they are free. And they are fast, and they are extremely graceful. Their manes and their tails are just flying out behind them in the wind. And down the mountain they come. And the lead stallion in the front, he's just now fully grown, and he's quite a horse. And as they come to the bottom of the hill and slow to a trot, I mean, this stallion just glides almost sideways. And he kicks up his heels, and he snorts and jerks his head, and his muscles are bulging, and he's just bursting with energy. He's a beautiful horse. He's a majestic horse. And you know, folks, you really can't picture a scene like that and not be tremendously impressed with that kind of strength and that kind of grace and that kind of beauty. It's a beauty all of its own. But there's a decree that has been made by the creator of that horse. And the decree would sound something like this. To this beautiful horse, to this high-spirited horse, to this talented horse bursting with energy, the creator of that horse has decreed, O young stallion, don't you know that before you can ever be of service to anyone, you must be broken? Now, in horses, we call it broke. But that's what broke means. It means the will of that horse is broken. It means that horse has accepted the bit and the bridle. It means that horse has yielded his will to the will of someone else. That horse has yielded his will to his master. That's what broke means. And we all know it's true, don't we? It doesn't matter how much strength that horse has. It doesn't matter how graceful he is. It doesn't matter how much leadership ability he has. That horse will never be of service to anyone but himself until he's broken. That's the decree that has been made by the creator of that horse. Are you all with me? The other picture I would like to paint in your mind again is of a horse. Beautiful horse. This time again standing tall, but tied to a hitching post just outside of the general store, and he's waiting on his master. The owner is inside the store, and he's been in there quite a while now. And there's a stranger walks up to this horse. I want you to picture this. And the horse stomps his foot in a friendly way. And the stranger reaches up and he strokes his head and his mane. And the horse responds in a very gentle way. And the owner comes out of the store. And the stranger says to him, "Is this your horse?" And the owner says that it is. And the stranger says to him, "This is a majestic horse. This is a strong horse. But this is a very gentle horse." He said, "You are a very fortunate man to have found you a horse so beautiful and so gentle as he." And the owner looked at the stranger, and this is what he said. He said, "Me and that horse have a secret. Me and that horse know that I did not find me a horse so beautiful and so gentle as he. That horse had to be broke. And what we went through to get there, that's our secret." But he said, "Friend, his brokenness is a big part of his beauty." And the stranger knew it was true. And we know it's true tonight, don't we? Let's not be strangers to the truth. Let's not be strangers to the Word of God, because there's a decree that has been made by the Creator of each one of us that comes forth from the Word of God. And it's just the same, that not one of us will ever be of service to anyone but ourselves until we're broken. You will never be of service to your master and your Lord until you're broken. You see, it doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how many gifts you have or how far they excel anyone else. It doesn't matter how much leadership you have. It doesn't matter how many financial resources you have backing you up. You will not be of service to your master and your Lord until you're broken. You see, brothers and sisters, God cannot use your talent to His glory until you are out of the way. I've heard it said this way: God can't use talent. God can use brokenness. You think about it. That's just the way it is. That's why Paul said in the Scriptures, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Paul was willing to be weak. He wanted to be weak. Why? So that God could use him. That the power of Christ might rest upon me. And that power of Christ that rested upon Paul will never land upon any one of us until we are willing to be weak, that in Christ we might be made strong and God can use us. There's no need to pray otherwise. You know, sometimes the power of prayer is a marvelous thing. Sometimes we can just stop situations and turn them around and make them go the other way just because of the power of prayer. But that's not true when God has made a decree. There was a young boy one time, he was taking a test in school and he was matching up the states in the United States with their capitals. And Sacramento is the capital of California. But this old fella couldn't remember. He was thinking maybe Sacramento was the capital of Oregon. And he marked it down as the capital of Oregon. And then he prayed a prayer. And it was an earnest prayer. And he just prayed, God, please, for my sake, make Sacramento the capital of Oregon. But I'm just telling you tonight, Sacramento is the capital of California. Sometimes we just need to bring ourselves to the truth. Amen? And that's where we are tonight. There's a decree that has been made and settled forever in heaven. You will never be great in God's kingdom until you're broken. That's the decree that has been made. Now I want you to know, so make sure we understand this, that doesn't mean you can't do great things in the kingdom of God and make yourself look really spiritual in this kingdom. I'm not saying you can't do that. Actually, that happens all the time. But I am saying this. It's going to be you that's doing it and not God. It's going to be you that's getting the credit, and it's going to be done in your strength and not in the strength of God. And the anointing of God and the power of Christ will not be what is resting upon you. Again, I'm not saying you can't make yourself look really spiritual in the kingdom of God. I'm not saying you can't preach a really good sermon. I'm not saying you can't proclaim right doctrine and not be broken, but I'm just saying it's going to be you that's doing it. And it's going to be you that's getting the credit and not God. You will never be of service to your master and your Lord until you're broken. That's the decree that has been made. May God bring us to the truth tonight. May God have liberty in this place. Broken. That's your will. I'm trying to draw up there before God. Would you like to read the decree that God has made? You can find it written several times throughout the scripture in several different ways. Sometimes it's almost like a proclamation when the trumpet blows and the decree comes forth. But sometimes it's just a hint, almost hidden. But it's all through the scriptures. And if you want to sum it up all into one scripture, let me suggest Matthew chapter 21, verse 44. That is one place where you'll find that decree written in red from the very heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was telling them that He was the stone that the builders had rejected and that He had been made the head of the corner. He was the chief cornerstone, and He said of Himself, whomsoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken. Whomsoever shall fall upon Jesus Christ shall be broken. And let me tell you tonight what whomsoever means. I know we know what it means, but brothers and sisters, it means anybody and everybody. No exceptions. Don't even think about trying to be an exception. Whomsoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken. There's no need to pray otherwise. And you can discuss all you want to what it means to fall upon this stone and be broken. But it simply means whoever comes to Jesus Christ shall be broken. Because whoever comes to Jesus Christ must come to Him on His terms. We can't come to Him on our terms. That's not coming to Him. Whomsoever shall come to Jesus Christ on His terms shall be broken. God said in Isaiah, where can I go? Where is the place of my dwelling? Jesus said, God said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect before Him. In other words, what kind of servant can I use? What kind of horse can I lead? And God said, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembleth at my word. Broken. That is where the blessing of the presence of God will come. That's where the anointing of God will come. And I want to challenge us this evening, in all honesty, in all reality, where are you at before God in brokenness? Where is your will before God? James says that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. And I see that as a proclamation too. If you are not broken and there is pride in your heart, the power of Christ will not rest upon you. God will resist you. If there's pride in your heart, if there's resistance in your heart, if there's selfishness in your heart, if there's spiritual pride in your heart, if there's denominational pride, it's still pride. And God will resist you. Even there, I don't care how spiritual you look, if there's pride in your heart, God resisteth the proud. That's part of the decree that has been made and settled forever in heaven. But when we're broken, God just pours grace on the humble. That's part of the decree too. That's the other half. Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, if you want to be a servant that God can use. Is that what we want tonight? If you want to be a servant that God can use, there's a formula in the scriptures for you. If you want to be a servant that God can use, you need to learn to be the servant of all. Now let me tell you what all means. It means everyone. It means you don't have a selective favorite and you serve there. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you need to learn to be the servant of all. Being a servant to all does not mean your best friends only. All does not mean being a servant to them that will bless you. It does not mean being a servant to them that agree with you. It means to learn to be the servant of all. And it's something that we have to learn. It's not just something that we have automatic. It's something that you learn. Heard a man say one time that on this one, we're not on automatic. We're only on manual. God works with us to make it happen. You know how you learn it? You know how you learn to be the servant of all? You learn it in brokenness by going down. There's no other formula. You have to go down. And I'm just going to tell you, that's with a capital D and a capital O and a capital W and a capital N. And you can put an exclamation mark there. We have got to go down. Down in our opinion of ourselves. Down in our opinion of our will. Down in our position. We have got to go down in our mind. You know what the Word of God calls that? Low. Lowliness of mind. We have got to go down in our body. Down in our lifestyle. You know why we've got to go down to learn to be the servant of all? Because there are people who are that low. And that's where you need to be to serve them. I want to remind you, Jesus said this, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Someone who serves is never greater than the person they're serving. The servant is not equal to his Lord. He is always where? Below him. And when you get down there, when you get below the people that you're at odds with, when you get below the people that you struggle to forgive, when you get below the ones who are not your best friends, you know what you're going to find when you get down there? You're going to find that there's some real sweet fellowship down there. There are people down there that you can love. You see, you cannot serve someone that you do not love. So learning to be the servant of all is learning to love. And if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you need to learn to be the servant of all. Folks, I read of a pope one time who heard of miracles that were being done by the hand of a sister in a far distant land. He heard about her. He heard of miracles. He heard good things, and he wanted to know if it was true. And this pope had a servant, and his name was Philip. And he called Philip to him, and he said, "Philip, I hear of miracles being done by the hand of our sister in a faraway land. I want you to go and to observe and come again and tell me, is it true?" Now, it was a long and a hard and a devastating journey. But Philip went. Philip was a servant. And when he got there, he was so tired and so worn out from the journey. And his feet were wounded and they were sore. His whole body was exhausted. He was completely done in from the journey, but he found this sister. And when he found this sister, he just pled with her. "Could you take off my shoes and wash my feet and bring some salve for the wounds?" Now you need to understand that at this point, Philip did not look like the servant of a king. This sister did not know that Philip was a servant to the Pope. And this sister looked at him and she said, "Me, take off your shoes and wash your feet, your shoes and your feet." She said, "I don't do that kind of thing. That is not my calling. God is using me to do miracles. I have greater things that I'm doing in the kingdom of God." And it is said right there that Philip stayed no longer. He looked no farther. He asked no more questions in that place. He observed no more. He took not off his shoes. He ministered not to his wounds. He returned to his master. And when he returned, the Pope said, "Philip, you're back. The miracles, are they true?" And Philip said, through the pain in his eyes and his body, he said, "They can't be true." And I'm going to tell you tonight, they can't be true. Because there's a decree that's been made and settled forever in heaven that you'll never be great in God's kingdom until you learn to be the servant of all. And it's so scriptural. Jesus said, "He that will be great, let him be your servant." Jesus said, "I am among you as he that serveth." And I just want to challenge us tonight. Never was there greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. Never was there more spiritual. Never was there more miracles done by anyone. But never went anyone lower to become the servant of all than Jesus Christ. And he washed their feet. And he died to serve. He was not picky when he died. He died for every single person on the earth. He got below every single one. And when we look at the pattern of serving everyone, does it really make sense for us to be so picky? May God give us grace to learn to be the servant of all. There's something I'd like to share with you this evening that I've learned over the years. And I think I've learned it by observing others. I've learned it by observing youth, and it's part of my own testimony as well. that when you're born again into the kingdom of God, something we all so dearly cherish, but when you're born again into the kingdom of God, it does not necessarily mean that you're automatically broken at that point. It doesn't mean that you've completely submitted your will. You know what it means to be born again? One thing it means is that you've been born. And it's a beautiful birth. It's into the kingdom of God you've been born. You've gotten out of Adam. You're into Christ that you've been born. But you're a baby. Think about it. Anything right after it's born is a baby. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. You're a child of God. You're a complete child of God, but you're a baby. You're a child, and you need to grow in grace. And you're not just automatically broken at that point. It's a wrong assumption to believe that. Brokenness takes time. That's just something that I've learned. It's kind of like me and that horse have a secret. That didn't happen all at once. You don't just walk up to that young stallion with his super strong, high-spirited horse coming down the mountain and then say to him in all of his strength, you know, now you belong to a very gentle master. And he's very kind and he paid a tremendous price for you. Now it's time for you to be broken. It doesn't really work that way. He's not all of a sudden just ready to stand there, tied to a hitching post with a bit and bridle in his mouth, waiting on his master. It doesn't just happen overnight. I don't know if we could hear testimonies from that here this evening or not, but it doesn't work that way. And I'm just going to tell you, praise God, it does happen. Because the Spirit of God works with us, and He's so patient. But it takes time. It's a process. You know what it takes? It takes all that God allows to come our way. It takes life itself. It takes prayer. It takes things not going your way. It takes the Word of God. It takes being under authority. You'll never get to the place of brokenness if you cannot be under authority. These are some established facts that are the details of the decree that has been made. It takes bowing your will. It takes obedience. It takes suffering wrongfully. It is God's eternal purpose to make us righteous. And it is His eternal purpose that we would be broken before Him. And it takes time, and God continually works with us. It takes all of the things that God brings. And when you fall upon that stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to Him and let Him have His way, God will bring all of those things into our life. And it's to the end that you will be broken before Him. And I'm just going to tell you this evening, it's only as you receive those things that we learn to become broken and become a servant that God can use. Now, you don't have to be completely broken for God to use you. But you do have to walk and be willing to walk in all the light that you know. You must receive the things that God brings into your life if we want to grow in grace. Because as we reject the things that God brings into our life, it is very discouraging in our Christian walk. It can actually destroy our walk with God, and it's so sad. And I've seen this happen. I've seen it happen over and over again. I'm 61, and I know there's people here down the road beyond me, but looking back, it is so sad. When a soul walks away from God, and we see it happen, and we know that at one point there was some kind of sincerity in their heart, and we ask ourselves, why? How can this be? But brothers and sisters, tonight I want you to know, no one walks away from God because they don't want to go to heaven anymore. They walk away from God because they don't want to be broken. They have an agenda. They have a will. And they can't submit, and so they walk away. But whomsoever will come to Jesus Christ shall be broken. They go their own way. They don't want to be under authority. They don't want discipline, and so they reject the light that God has so faithfully brought into their life. And you know what they do? They begin to withdraw from where God has them. They get out from under authority, and they move. And they begin to find themselves surrounded by friends who are telling them what they want to hear. They get away from the pressure from the Spirit of God and claim its spirituality and liberty in Christ when all they're doing is seeking friends to surround them who are just going to tell them just what they want to hear. And they haven't learned how to love beyond themselves or to obey beyond their own opinion. And they develop a circle of friends. You know what? There's a name for that circle of friends. When people selectively choose who they're with, who will tell them what they want to hear. You know what that's called? It's called a clique. That's what a clique is. They don't want to be under the authority that God has them under, and they search for companionship where their liberty is not challenged. It's when someone is always with the same people who share similar opinions, and they begin to confide more with each other, and they counsel each other, and they begin to feed each other's complaints and nourish each other's hurts, and they just get more selective, and the circle gets tighter. And I want you to know tonight, if you are in a clique, you have not learned to be the servant of all. If you're in a clique tonight and you can't flow with the body, you're probably not broken. May God challenge us. I'd like to quote what I heard another brother say at a minister's meeting one time. And this is from someone who had watched youth for many years, and he just made this observation. He said, you know, when a youth gets into a clique with another person or other people, you can just about sit back and watch them go downhill spiritually. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have close friends or intimate counselors in the church. God forbid that I would say that. I don't even believe that. But I am saying that cliques are a thing of this world. And if you're in a clique, you're probably not going to be great in God's kingdom. And you haven't learned how to be the servant of all. You know, that may come as a hard saying. Jesus said, when hard sayings come, everyone can't receive them. Jesus said, not everyone is going to be able to receive these hard sayings. And I was just thinking about that tonight. You know, there may be some here this evening that can't receive this. There may be some pretty impressive born-again testimonies here tonight that can't receive this. There may be a cool spirit here this evening who just can't flow, just can't receive admonition, is not able to be admonished, that can't receive this. But I want to tell you tonight, who can receive this? The poor in spirit can receive this. And theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May God lead us to wisdom. I do want to get practical here this evening, because it's only when brokenness gets into your everyday life that it really does us any good, right? We're not broken when we learn to pray broken. We're broken when we learn to live broken. We need to take our life and lift it up to the Word of God right beside the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only pattern we can go by to find out where we're at. I want us to know this evening that brokenness is a mindset. It's how you think. Did you know that? It's not only what you do, it's how you think. It's a mindset. It's having the mind of Christ, letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the mind of Christ is not a high thing. It is not a complicated thing. You know what the mind of Christ is? It's a broken thing. You look at his life. It's how he thought. His will was completely laid down and out of the way. And his mind was just geared to obey his Father's will. All through the scriptures, I do only those things that please my Father. Jesus, his will was laid down and his mind was geared to obey. And I want to challenge us, how well does that pattern fit our mindset in everyday life? At home, on the job, at church, among others? There are people, I just want you to think about this. This is very challenging, but I want you to think, there are people in everyday life, if all their authority did was just give them a slight hint, didn't even give them a commandment, just a slight hint, those people would catch it. And they would do it because that's how they think. That's how they hear. Because their will is broken and it's not a problem and their mind is geared to obey. But there are other people, and I know that we all know this, but there's other people that if their authority did more than give them a hint, that's not enough. So they come right out and give them a very clear commandment to do something. There are people who would have several reasons why they couldn't do it or question why it even needed to be done. And it's because their will is not broken. It's not because they have the gift of a prophet. I've heard that. It's not because their authority is ungodly. I've heard that too. It's because their will is not broken and they are not geared to obey. It's a condition of the mind and heart. It's how you think. Let me give you an example. If you are told in everyday life, just a hint, that the wastebasket's full, or almost full, let's say. You just hear that. The wastebasket is almost full. I'm just going to tell you tonight, to the mind of a broken and a faithful servant desiring to serve, hearing that statement, the wastebasket's almost full, that is a commandment to dump the trash. And they will do it because they're willing. And that's how they hear it. But to an unbroken spirit, they won't catch on, even if their authority comes right out and says, would you please empty the trash now? I need someone to empty the trash. Would you please empty the trash? They'll have several reasons why not. Number one, it's not quite full yet. And I'm right in the middle of this job. I can't hardly do it right now. And besides that, it was me that did it last time. We hear those things all through life. But brothers and sisters, it's a mindset. And I want you to know something tonight. That when that is how you are with dumping the trash, that is exactly how you will be with the commandments of God. Exactly. There's no different. There's a thread connecting those two that has never been broken. When that's how you are with dumping the trash, full of excuses, it's not quite full yet, maybe it's not necessary, reasons why it's not, needing to know how your brother fits into this thing and how you fit into this thing from last time. If that's how you are with dumping the trash, that is exactly how you're going to be with the commandments of God. And it's going to show up at home. And it's going to show up at church. And it's going to show up in all of your everyday life because it's how you think. It's a mindset. I'm telling you tonight, brokenness is a mindset. It's how you think. Here's another example. The phone rings. It's fellowship meal this coming Sunday. Hello? Could you bring a salad for fellowship meal? And here's the answer. I don't have any salad. I don't have any lettuce. And I prefer bringing desserts. Would it be okay if I brought a dessert? I want you to know this evening, you don't have the mind of a servant. You have an independent spirit that wants to do only what's convenient. To the mind of a servant, if they don't have any lettuce, they'll go get some lettuce. That's the way a servant thinks. Their mind is geared to obey. And I want you to know this evening that when that's how you are answering the phone, that's exactly how you'll be when God calls your life. There's no difference. You have a desire to be a missionary and your church is thrilled. They need someone to go to Africa and you say, oh, but God has put China on my heart. That's what you'll say. And I understand that God may have put China on your heart, and there's a point where you need to share that. But let me tell you something that might be bigger to you even than China. China is very big, but your will might be bigger. Why do you need to go to China when God needs you in Africa? Do you want to be a servant? Do you want to be sent? Or do you want to be the boss? If you want to be sent, then go where you're sent. I'm pleading tonight. If you want to be sent, then go where you're sent and make sure that he that is sent is not greater than he that sent him. The servant is not greater than his Lord. He's always under him. I want you to know tonight, if you cannot go where you are sent, then you will not serve where you decide to go. I want to say that again. If you cannot go where you are sent, then you will not serve where you decide to go. You know why? Because you're going to have the same mindset where you go as you did before you left. Brokenness is a mindset. It's how you think. Sometimes we get the mentality that someone is broken because they're willing to be a missionary. But brothers and sisters, that is not true. It is not so. There are missionaries all over the world who are not broken. And the witness of God, I believe, is hindered in that outreach. Many of those people are just doing exactly what they want to do, and they're doing it exactly where they want to do it. They just look around until they find someone who is willing to send them where they want to go and support them in what they want to do. And that's when the servant is greater than his Lord. And when he that is sent is greater than he that sent him. And Jesus said, it cannot be that way. It doesn't come out right. It's not brokenness. It's how you think. The mind of Christ will be hindered in that outreach. I hear of situations all the time. I'm going to give you an example that came home with one of my daughters from Bible school many years ago. In her prayer group, there was this girl who shared that her mother wanted her to be down in the kitchen every morning to help her fix breakfast. But it conflicted with her schedule, because when her mother wanted her in the kitchen is exactly when she was having her time with God. And she was not going to sacrifice her time with God to be down in the kitchen. And it sounds so spiritual, but I want to tell you tonight, it's not. Because that girl refused to go down below her mother. Let me tell you something that may be bigger in that girl's heart even than her time with God. And that is her independent spirit. You see, a broken heart, someone with brokenness in their mentality, can figure out real quick that she needs to get up an hour earlier and have her time with God so that she can be down in the kitchen to help her mother. That's not that hard to figure out. Because God wants me to serve my mother. But unbrokenness will never figure that out. Unbrokenness always figures out a way to look spiritual and stay out of the kitchen. And our churches are full of them. Unbrokenness always figures out a way to look spiritual and stay out of the kitchen. And make mother look bad too. I mean, she doesn't even care about my time with God. You just make other people not look spiritual when they're very legitimate. Unbrokenness always finds a way to look more spiritual than others. I'm challenging us tonight. How does this fit in with our mindset? I want you to know tonight that that girl is not under authority. She has not learned how to be the servant of all, like Jesus did. She has not learned how to not make herself look more spiritual than others. I believe the Spirit of God is here tonight. May He convict us. Are we like this young girl? Are we like that sister that answered the phone for the fellowship meal? Are we like the request to empty the trash? When that's how we are in everyday life, that's exactly how we're going to be with the commandments of God. It's a thread that has never been broken. It's part of the decree. Whomsoever shall come to Jesus Christ shall be broken. It's the only way we are free to serve. I want us to know this evening that brokenness is very perceptive. Brokenness is sensitive. Brokenness can sense what someone else is feeling. Brokenness has greater sensitivity to what others are feeling than our own will is trying to rise up. A hard heart sometimes can't even perceive the obvious. You know, that's very, very scriptural. There is a verse in the Bible that has long intrigued me. I've thought before, this may be one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. And it has to do with brokenness being perceptive. In the book of Mark, these are the words. It says, "For they considered not," and the "they" there is the disciples. The followers of Jesus, it says, "considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." That's an amazing verse if you think about it. A hard heart can't even see a miracle. They considered not the miracle of the loaves because their heart was hardened. Now, brothers and sisters, Jesus had just fed 5,000 hungry men and women, besides women and children, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. And they knew that. These disciples knew that. They saw that. And after they were all filled, of the fragments that remained, they picked up 12 baskets full. That's about 1 full basket for each one of the disciples. And none of them could figure out that a miracle had been done because their heart was hardened. That's amazing. I guess they were just obediently gathering up the fragments that remained, the leftovers, and not thinking about it. But I have wondered before, is that the way we go through life? We're just upstairs praying, having our time with God, not aware of how bad Mother needs us in the kitchen. Promoting our line of theology, not realizing how bad we're needed in the church family to go down and serve. I wonder what that can show us about our own life and our own heart. I would like to challenge you with this. Brokenness will never let itself look more spiritual than others. I'll not soon forget what a brother said to me one time when he was teaching on that subject. And I really want you to think about this. This brother said, "I wonder what your impression of Jesus Christ would have been if you had met him on the streets of Nazareth when he was, say, 25 years old. If you had met Jesus on the streets of Nazareth when he was 25, would his blazing holiness have knocked you over? Would he have used it to impress you?" I tell you tonight, he had it. He was the Son of God. He had never sinned even one time. He was perfect in obedience and righteousness. Spotless Lamb of God was He. Is that what you would have seen when you met Jesus on the streets of Nazareth? This brother didn't think so. He thought that He would appear as a common man, friendly to you, at your level, even below you, interested in your life, a servant, willing to help you. And that impressed me. Perfect, spotless Lamb of God to meet me at my level. Jesus was never known in Nazareth as the Son of God. He was the carpenter's son. That's all he was ever known as. That's all he was. That's all he presented himself as. That is the only reputation that Jesus gained in Nazareth for 30 years. That's all he was known as, is the carpenter's son. Perfect, spotless Lamb of God, the carpenter's son. Brothers and sisters, that's amazing if you think about it. In fact, I dare you to think about it. How could that even be? He was the Son of God. He was the epitome of holiness. He was sinless perfection. He was as spiritual could get. Only known as the carpenter's son for 30 years. That's what they said. Is this not Jesus, the carpenter's son whose mother is Mary, whose brothers and sisters are with us? They didn't even know he knew how to read. Where did this man learn letters? I mean, that is the way Jesus presented himself for 30 years. How did he do that? I'm going to tell you tonight how he did that. I think I know. It's because he was broken. That's the way he lived. He served in the carpenter shop. That's the way he thought. That's the way he presented himself. And brokenness will do that. Brokenness will never let yourself look more spiritual than others. Is that not the pattern of our Lord? It's the mind of Christ. He wasn't growing up in Nazareth learning how to look spiritual. He was learning obedience by the things that he suffered. He was learning to be the servant of all. And down he went. Capital D, Jesus Christ. Capital O. Capital W. Capital N. Below everyone in Nazareth for 30 years. No reputation, only the carpenter's son. Does that impress you tonight? Only brokenness could do that. And I want to challenge us this evening. If Jesus did not let himself look more spiritual than others, does it really make sense for us to do that? I'm going to say that God demands an answer. If Jesus did not make himself look more spiritual than others, does it really make sense for us to do that? Is that the servant that God will use? And if you look at Jesus Christ, his future was completely in his Father's hands. He trusted his future to his Father. I'm going to close by telling you about my brother. He's our brother. He's your brother too in the Lord. Our brother had an accident. He had an injury in his feet, and his feet were destroyed. It was on a forklift, and they came down, and his feet got caught, and it just broke them. And as our brother was wheeled into surgery right after the accident, the doctor said to him, he took a look at his feet and he said to our brother, "I don't know if I can put your feet back together or not." The doctor said, "I'm going to try, but I don't know if I can." He said, "When you come out of surgery, you may not have any feet. I may have to amputate." And I'm sure there was a painful silence for our brother. Put yourself in his shoes. But our brother spoke in a quiet voice. And in a very audible voice, he said to the doctor, he said, "My feet belong to God. If he wants them, he may have them." What about your feet? Do they belong to God? Do you have an agenda for them. If God wants them, may He have them, no matter how much it will change your life. What about your hands? Do they belong to God? If He wants them, may He have them. What about your music? What about your talents and your gifts? What about your will? I want to play one more song. And I want God to reveal to you somewhere in the playing of this song what God will do for you if you are willing to do this with your will. Before God, may He reveal to you what He will do for you. Let's pray. Father, we desire that the very tender, gracious words of that song, we could yield ourselves to it. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway, is our prayer tonight. Absolute sway, Father. With each one of us, we have wondered, Lord, what would happen in our churches. We've wondered what would happen in our marriages. We've wondered what would happen in the kingdom of God if each one of us could yield ourselves before You this way. We look to You, Father. We desire to give You liberty tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to have a little invitation here this evening. I want to say this. When you give God liberty to do whatever He wants to do with you, when you really, really do give it, there's a guarantee that comes with it. If you're holding something back like Ananias and Sapphira, there's judgment. There's challenges, sowing and reaping. But if you really do give God liberty, if you don't hold anything back, here's the guarantee. If you really, really do give God that liberty, He will take it. I would like to just say this, and then I want to open the altar for just a minute. I want to remind us. I've thought about this picture. I've looked at this picture. And it's so precious to me to think of this being me. Or this being you. God's hands right on us. Humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. But I just want us to know, this will never happen. Until this happens. You can't be complete in yourself and have God have absolute sway. Here's the opportunity tonight, is to do this with your will and your life. And let God have His way. I want to open the altar for anyone who feels like they need to give God that liberty. I would like for us all to stand. And I'd like to sing a song before Him. I'd like to sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be." In that song it talks about taking our hands and taking our feet and taking our life. And let's sing that song before the Lord, and we just want to open it up. If anyone feels that you need to come forward and give God liberty to break your life before Him, let's sing. Take my life and let it be consecrated.
so needy.
But we feel so convicted, and Father, in the midst of our great need, in the midst of our weakness, somehow, Father, we feel the opportunity to receive your greatness. And we know that to receive it, Father, we break our will before you. We ask that you would have your way, not only here tonight, but as we leave this place and go back to everyday life. Father, give us the mind of Christ. Help us to think like he thought. Help us to serve, not just conveniently, not just what doesn't need a sacrifice, not just what will show so that others will see, but God, may we learn to be the servant of all. May we learn to go down. Father, may we learn to flow with a fellowship. May we learn to serve. May we learn to forgive. May we learn to grow in grace. Father, I know every situation here is different. We have trials, we have things, there's different applications. God, I pray that you would be with each one here tonight, that we would find the fulfillment of complete yielding to your will. Hold o'er our being absolute sway, Father. Thou art the potter. We are the clay. May we be soft clay in your hands. And Father, we know over here in this picture, this is just a result of what happens to a special kind of light with a special kind of chalk. God, our prayer is that each of us could be that special chalk, and that you would be that special light, and that you would use us in your kingdom, and that your name would be praised. We worship you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may turn on the lights, and Brother Steve, I think to close.